This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Help me welcome to the program Bob Holsworth. He is professor of political science and public administration and the director of the Center for Public Policy at Virginia Commonwealth University. He joins us on the long line, one of Virginia's veteran political analysts. Bob, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Coy. How are you today?
I'm good. I managed to get a little bit of sleep last night. I was one of those folks who I just couldn't turn it off. I just kept wanting to watch into the middle of the night. I just couldn't get enough of it. I was just so moved. And I tell you, I told folks in the last hour, I don't care who would have won because we would have made history either way. I was so proud of my country yesterday. This was just so historic.
Yeah, it was a remarkable election, and I think both the losing candidate and the winning candidate gave wonderful speeches at the end of what had been a very bare-knuckles, hard-fought campaign.
Absolutely. So, Bob, let's start with the obvious. Virginia went blue yesterday, and even more remarkable to me was that Indiana was among those blue states, having a brother in the State House in Indiana, a brother-in-law in the State House in Indiana. I know that is a red state through and through, even more so than Virginia. But what was your take on that? Did you sort of see that coming, or did you really think it could go either way?
Well, I thought Virginia was trending blue in this election. I think part of the issue that had occurred here is that early on, in fact, for 3 years, Barack Obama has been in Virginia regularly. He was here for Tim Kaine. He barnstormed for Jim Webb. He'd given J.J. dinner talks. The Democrats really liked him in here, and he felt very comfortable in Virginia. The McCain campaign, somewhat inexplicably, perhaps because of financial difficulties, really didn't come into Virginia very strong until very late. It looked as if they were waiting for the state to kind of go naturally red throughout the summer, and when it didn't, they came in the last month of the campaign pretty significantly, but weren't able to turn this tide.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth, a VCU veteran political analyst here in Virginia. So keep going with that.
I think what you see here, Coy, is a number of interesting things happened. First of all, there was a ton of new voters registered in Virginia, 435,000 new voters. According to the exit polls, Obama carried them by more than 2-1. Secondly, Northern Virginia appears simply to get bluer and bluer in these elections. Fairfax County was carried by 73,000 votes. He got almost 53% of the vote in Loudoun, got about 55% of the vote in Prince William. These were supposed to be kind of battleground counties, and Obama carried them very easily. And again, somewhat inexplicably during the campaign, the McCain group had, particularly his surrogates, seemed to repeat the mistakes of years past, talking about whether or not Northern Virginia was the real Virginia, joking about it being a communist country. And the reality is it's the most populous part of the state. You have to do well here.
There's a third of the votes are in Northern Virginia.
Yeah, so those comments I don't think were very helpful. And again, what I think that poses a huge challenge to the Republican Party generally, to have the most populous area of the state going so blue as it did yesterday. Plus, there were some other surprises that were really pretty remarkable. Here in the Richmond metropolitan area, you might see that Chesterfield County, what had been one of the most reliably Republican counties in the state that have given so many Republicans huge margins, was only carried by John McCain by 12,000 votes yesterday. At the same time, McCain lost Henrico County in the Richmond area by almost 19,000 votes. And up your way, you know, clearly the big story was Albemarle, going so heavily Democratic in both the presidential race and the congressional race.
Absolutely. Albemarle, Charlottesville used to be this little island of blue. That is no longer the case with the growth of the suburbanization of the city of Charlottesville. We have, you know, we really do see that Albemarle has turned reliably blue. Is that right?
Yeah, this is something that's actually happening nationwide, that places that have this, what you might call university-related development, either people who are working at UVA, at spin-off companies that are related to UVA, or people who have moved into the area because they want to be near a great world-class university, tend to share the values that are expressed in that university, which tend to be more democratic, more liberal values overall. And what we're seeing is that a real transformation in the politics of the region there. And what you have in the 5th District now seems to be two very different parts of that region. And Albemarle and Charlottesville providing huge margins last night against Virgil Goode.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth, veteran for political analyst at VCU. Honored to have him on the program. Bob, what do you think is going to happen in the 5th District? We're looking at a recount, right? I mean, at this point,
I can't imagine it's anything but a recount.
Yeah.
Plus, I think we have that whole issue of these military ballots that may or may not come in late that were subject to the lawsuit. And I think it was, I think the judge made a good decision in saying those ballots ought to be counted. You know, right now, I think we're certainly in a recount, and where we're going to go in terms of the military ballots and how they're going to be included in that recount is yet to be determined, but they have to be part of it as well, I presume.
Yeah. Are we looking at any other recounts in Virginia besides the 5th District?
Well, I don't think we're looking at a recount quite yet, though Thelma Drake has, from what I gather, yet to concede in the 2nd District, and my guess is that is related to possible ballots coming in from overseas as well.
And, of course, that's the 2nd District down in Tidewater. Republican incumbent Thelma Drake in the U.S. Congress. I thought that spread, of course, is much bigger than here in the 5th District.
Right. I mean, and plus this one in the 5th District, every time you seem to update the the website at the state board seems to change.
Yeah.
I've seen it change any number of times already today. So, in fact, I'm looking right now to see whether or not it might have changed while we speak
it
on
isn't.
That front. But it's still 31 votes right now.
31. Perriello up by 31 votes, in which case there absolutely would be a recount.
Out of 315,000. Isn't that remarkable?
Yeah, that is unbelievable. And you know what? I will say the turnout in the city of Charlottesville was not as high as we thought it might be. I don't think it was as high as 04.
Really? That's pretty remarkable. You know, one of the other things that I've noticed here is that there were 174 write-in votes.
In the Perriello Goode race?
Yeah. that exceeds the actual margin of victory here.
Amazing.
Or the margin of the lead.
I think it's
far too early to talk about victory.
And now, folks should know, though, Bob, that in the case of a state recount, that would not start until about Thanksgiving, and we wouldn't know until December who won this race.
Right. No, this could take a while, and as I said, it could get even more confusing because of some of these other ballots that are out there.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth, veteran political analyst at VCU, and we're truly honored to have him back on the program. Bob, what was your read on the Gilmore-Warner race? It was one of the first races that the networks called Mark Warner's going to win in Virginia.
Well, it was never a competitive race. Jim Gilmore was never able to raise enough money, garner enough support. I think we probably had a very early signal about this when at the Republican convention he barely squeaked through and barely received the nomination from an underfunded challenge by Bob Marshall. And I think what that showed is that the Republican Party was not united, that really didn't believe that it was going to pull out all the stops and try to raise money for Jim Gilmore. And at the end of the day, he simply didn't have the wherewithal to compete with a very popular political figure in Virginia as Mark Warner is.
Bob, I'll tell you, one of the subjects that I find most fascinating today, in the day after this historic election, is the conversation that goes on now on the Republican side of the aisle, with the Republicans having this conversation about what now and where do we go from here, and who is the leader, and how do we restage ourselves, and how do we overcome this schism between the fiscal moderate conservatives and the socially conservative right. I find that very fascinating. Give us an idea how you think this will play out in the Virginia laboratory.
It's been playing out in Virginia for quite some time. You know, it's really played out since the 2001 General Assembly session, where the Senate and the House disagreed, and the Senate disagreed with the governor, and they wound up not being able to reach that budget situation. And since that time, the Republicans have really struggled to find a way to unite the various wings of the party. And now what we've seen in Virginia for the last 7 years is clearly afflicting the party on a national level also. My sense that both in Virginia and the national level, you can either try to settle this one of two ways. You really come to an agreement on what your philosophy is going to be, and that's pretty tough to do. Typically, these things are best settled when you find a candidate who can help to unite these various wings of the party, and a candidate that people are excited about and they're willing in some fashion to subordinate some of their own ideas to the prospect of electoral success of a candidate. Bob McDonnell, I think, does a pretty good job of uniting some of these different wings of the Republican Party. He's well-liked by the social conservatives. At the same time, he has a significant amount of support from the business community. How well he would play in Northern Virginia may be the big challenge that he still has to face. But McDonnell looks like a pretty good contender right now for helping at least the Republicans to move forward a little bit here in Virginia and get beyond some of the issues they've faced over and over again in the past. At the same time, when you take a look at these Northern Virginia numbers last night, it really shows you that unless the Republicans can come up with a candidate who can compete in Northern Virginia, they're likely to have the same result again and again, Coy.
Amazing. So, and if I hear you right, we would be looking at a blue state, not just an anomaly here in 08. But
yeah, we've been calling it a purple state, but now it's purple trending blue. Again, I think strong Republican candidates could win. If Obama, if the expectations are Obama's too high and a lot of people are disappointed, it's certainly possible that the Republicans could come back here in Virginia. But my sense is that it has to be some kind of deliberate effort to talk about how you're going to appeal to Northern Virginia, and in particular, young voters and the new communities, the new citizens in the United States. Nationally, last night, there were some dramatic results that go well beyond McCain's weakness as a candidate, or go well beyond the economic problems that caused the Republicans so much difficulty. Among young voters under 30 last night, Obama carried them by about a 2-to-1 margin. That's simply huge. Secondly, among Latino voters, Obama carried them last night by 40 points, 70-30.
Wow.
And, you know, typically, you know, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, as recently as 10 years ago, Republicans did very well with the new citizens from the kind of emergent ethnic communities, you might say, because their belief in entrepreneurialism, family values, faith were very appealing. But what's happened is that the Republican brand has become so tarnished with these groups that it is enabling the Democrats to win huge majorities. And when you're winning a huge majority with the fastest growing minority in American life, that does not bode well for the Republican Party nationally.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth, political analyst at VCU. So those that youth vote that Gore talked about in 2000 and Kerry talked about in 2004 that didn't seem to show up then, if I hear you right, they did show up yesterday.
They showed up. In fact, under 30s, I think, for the first time, voted in greater numbers than people over 65.
Wow.
You know, a second thing that happened yesterday as well, that it really reflects this new media environment we're in. A lot of conservatives spend a lot of time criticizing what they consider to be the liberal tilt of the mainstream media. And I think that's probably, in some ways, actually quite accurate. But my sense is that they should forget about what Rush Limbaugh calls the drive-bys and think about what's happening with these young voters. They're not watching the mainstream media. They're getting their news either from the Internet or, in many instances, from the comedy shows.
Yeah, from the Daily Show.
And I think it's the—and all of these tilt far to the left. And my sense on that is that the Republicans are going to have to do a better job in what you might call the marketplace of alternative media, where news and information are kind of blurred with entertainment, if they're going to have some chance of getting a hold of these young voters.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth. It's just amazing stuff, fascinating stuff, how this is what we continue to learn about what happened yesterday. Speaking of next year's race for governor in Virginia, if I hear you right about the undisputed blue power now of Northern Virginia, where a third of our state's voters live, it sounds to me like Brian Moran is exceptionally well positioned coming out of Northern Virginia as a possible Democratic candidate.
You know, potentially, but you know, he's not there on his own right now completely. One of the interesting features, I think, that's going to happen here, and it's going to be a challenge for the Democratic Party, is that since the Democrats are doing so well, getting a Democratic nomination has become a far more attractive reward for people, or a far more attractive thing to try to do. And so what's happening is that we have Brian Moran, who's clearly going to position himself against Creed Eads, but, you know, lurking sort of right around all of them right now, and is the possibility of a Terry McAuliffe candidacy.
Former chair of the national DNC. Yeah,
somebody who has been, national DNC, major fundraiser for the Clintons, and has suggested that if he does come into the Virginia campaign, he would be able to raise upwards of $70 million.
Jeez.
So what you're seeing now is that as Virginia goes blue, somebody like Terry McAuliffe is saying, boy, this might be something very interesting to consider. Now, what would happen, where the activist base of the party would be regarding someone who's been more visible in the national stage than inside Virginia is not so clear. But there's a lot of speculation that maybe Governor Kaine or even Senator Warner is encouraging these the McAuliffe candidacy. So this is going to be fascinating to watch, and I think what we're going to see is that as the Democratic nomination becomes more of a plum, it's going to become more competitive, and the Democrats are going to have to find a way to negotiate their differences effectively before they go into a new round of division and controversy between themselves.
Otherwise, the primary battle, you're ripping yourselves up and you're spending all this money even before the general election.
Well, can you imagine if McAuliffe runs and loses? One of the outcomes, of course, would be he'll bankrupt whoever the winner is in that. So the Democrats, if McAuliffe runs, will be in for a very interesting 2009.
Absolutely fascinating stuff. Bob, thank you so much. Bob Holsworth is a political analyst at VCU, and we're honored to have him on the program.
Okay, always good to be here, Coy.
Thank you, Bob.
So much.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.